legend, bro.
I grab a dog, and I choke him, and I kick the shit out of him. And I all day long, I put up a dog's ass. Just bang, bang, bang up his ass.
That's my pleasure.
Stallion 83.
Everything that guy just says is bullshit. Thank you.
Randall 419.
Those men wanted to have sex with me.
Omega D's.
Who the fuck is this asshole?
Welcome to Party Chat.
Alright, welcome to the Party Chat Podcast number 2. I am Majin Fro. And with me I have Stallion 83.
Hola.
Randall Thor 19.
What's up, everybody?
And Omega D's.
Present. I used to say in schools anyway.
Okay, well, this is our second podcast, and we got a lot of good response for the last one. We do have two retractions to make based on information we gave out in the last podcast. Omega D's does not want us to be known as stoners. We are not stoners. We might sound like stoners.
I don't care if you guys are known as stoners, but I'm not a stoner.
I'm not a stoner anymore. Yeah. Either.
I'm not a stoner. I
haven't been a stoner since high school.
Yeah, same here.
I have a long time ago.
I'm allergic to weed.
That's just gay.
Yeah.
You're just square, Stan. You're just a square.
He ain't lying about that. Yeah, that's true.
And our second retraction is, apparently, Apple has returned to the Xbox. He came back on and informed us that he has not, in fact, been playing RuneScape for the past 2 months, but has been bicycling, as in some Lance Armstrong-type shit. Who would have guessed?
Using drugs like Lance Armstrong? Like, steroiding it up?
Using that fake wiener?
Banging Sheryl Crow.
But yeah. The hell did that shit happen? Soaking up the sun, Apple?
I don't know, I mean... back in high school, I found bicycling exhilarating, yeah.
Man, our podcast is pretty powerful. We bring people back from the dead.
Yeah. Yeah.
Back on that next day. So, I'm not saying that we got powers of Jesus. I'm just saying.
Yeah, we might have a fifth.
He might be alive. Yeah. I don't know if we're going to be able to do it because he does crash the party.
That's true.
He does crash the party a lot, yeah. Pro and Apple have a... the routers don't like each
other. Yeah, they're eternal enemies. They're Jesus and Satan. Mine being Jesus.
What is, mine's a D-Link, so what's yours? Actually, mine's a Netgear, so I want to know if mine's holy or not.
Mine's D-Link.
Okay, D-Link. Mine's not holy.
We got a pretty good response to our last podcast. We appreciate the response, guys. We're glad you liked it. We apologize once again for the piss poor audio and Stallion giving us Mike a blowjob.
Yeah,
remember, I'm cheap, so.
Must be why my ears been itching for the last week.
That's why the audio.
Stallion's passing STDs through the mic.
My ear gonorrhea. So no comment.
But yeah, we definitely appreciate the response, and we hope we can do some more cool stuff for you. If you subscribe to the RSS feed, that's actually linked off a blog on Blogspot. And if you leave comments on that or me and Stallion's blog and you have any questions, we'll answer them in the show. We have no problem with that. We will take your questions and answer them. Now, if it gets overwhelming, we might have to, you know, pick and choose. But right now, we'll pretty much answer anything. So I guess let's move on to games played. What have you been playing this week, Omega?
Same here as Edgy for the last 2 days. Pretty good game. Different. Doesn't seem like a DICE game.
Oh yeah, I forgot DICE made that one.
I was reading that for the sequel, DICE was wanting to put in multiplayer.
Screw that.
I don't know how that would work with that game.
If it's just like foot races, it might work. What about co-op and something like that?
Well, co-op's cool, not anything. I will say, though, I love Mirror's Edge. It's one of my favorite games when the year came out.
Yeah, I love it too. I'd make that hole in the middle of this bigger and make sweet love to it so then they could peel my dick like a carrot.
That's staying in the podcast.
What's wrong with it? I'm just getting this chicken dick.
That's staying in.
What you think? Oh, there goes my little chicken dick.
No, Sam.
That round dick looking like a piece of skinless chicken. It hurt my chances with the lady. You know?
Well, I haven't had a chance to play Mirror's Edge yet, but it's definitely on my to play soon list. So I can sit there.
What'd you think of the cutscenes, Omega? You like them cutscenes in that game?
I liked everything about it. Right, because it was completely different than what I was expecting. I recommend it.
You gonna get that DLC
like
for it?
Once. Yeah, I already got the DLC. I just haven't. Just did the campaign. A couple of the speed runs.
So, playing anything else besides Mirror's Edge?
Yeah, Alpha Protocol.
Oh, yeah. Well, whatever that last week.
That one more playthrough. The game actually ain't as bad as I was saying.
I would agree. I like the Alpha Protocol.
Put all that stuff out of anger because I didn't use a guide.
Alright, well, if that's it, let's move on to Stallion and see what he's been playing this week.
I don't know really where to start because I've played so many good games.
Really?
Yeah, good games like Velvet Assassin.
Oh, woo.
Like the Wolfenstein.
Oh, great game, great game.
Like Race Pro, NBA 2K Japan.
Woo.
Prison Break.
Wow.
And Looney Tunes European version. All three games.
Now, I heard those weren't even the best game you played. I heard you played a little Destination Arcade this week.
Yeah, Destination Arcade. You know, I got my arcade library situated. It looks all nice and neat. And you can get a couple Avatar Awards. Check it out. You check out Altered Beast, and you get like a purple dragon. That's pretty cool. I guess I'd talk about Prison Break. Game sucked.
And you haven't watched the TV show, have you?
No, I haven't watched the TV show, but everybody's been telling me I should watch the TV show, and I'm thinking I should watch it because like one of my favorite movie scenes of all time is the Shawshank Redemption.
Oh, I love Shawshank Redemption.
Like,
Shawshank is a great movie.
Right before he breaks out of jail, you don't know. Sorry, spoiler alert for a 1992 movie, but he breaks out of jail. He basically uses a little, what was it, like a little statue, little shaping.
Yeah, a shaping knife for rock.
Stick. Yeah, and. That scene was awesome. So, I liked him breaking out of prison there, so I might like to show Prison Break. But the game, if through the first two levels, you can basically get 500 points in the first two levels, and it only takes a couple hours to do, and the rest of the game really sucks. I don't know. I didn't like that game at all because you can't... You gotta use non-lethal force throughout the majority of the game.
That's never fun.
You guys... Have you played that yet?
No, I haven't had a chance yet.
Okay, well, basically, I wanted to, like, Jack Bauer chokehold everybody, but choke them out, but I couldn't even do that. So
I understand why developers sit there and put stuff into games where you can't sit there and have fun like that. Because when I play a game like that, yeah, you know, I want to choke a bitch. I want to be Wayne Brady.
Is Wayne Brady going to have to choke a bitch?
You're basically undercover throughout the whole game, so you gotta use non-lethal force, and you don't even get to use your force, so sneak around. I don't know. It basically put me to sleep, and you just follow the yellow brick road, pretty much. You go everything that's yellow, you go towards the yellow light, yellow pipes, yellow everything. But I'm gonna play some good stuff this next week, Alan Wake and stuff.
I'll make you a deal on the TV show that since they have it on Netflix, we could be Prison Break buddies and we could discuss it on the podcast in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I'm gonna watch it soon on Netflix. Don't worry, I'm in the fourth season, so.
I watched the first two and I really enjoyed it. It kind of
after that, though, you kind of really got to spend your disbelief about what happens later. But I really recommend the first season is really, really good. Like, really good.
My brother just finished watching all four seasons in the movie, and he enjoyed actually all of it, mainly because he likes seeing T-Bag get screwed over, he says.
Well, we've always said, like, you know, watching a whole TV series in a row is really great, but I watched it when it was on TV, so the wait in between each season kind of just gets on you and stuff, like...
Yeah, if you watch them just back to back, it's so much better.
Yeah.
But I'm going to play some better stuff next week, so I don't always play really, really, really shitty games. I play them, but not like in big-ass bunches like that unless I'm in a GSL. So, I don't know, there's just not much out. I mean, I've played everything that's out. I want to play pretty much besides finishing up Alan Wake and I want to play Singularity.
I think it's maybe time for you to restart Final Fantasy 13, man.
No. No.
All right. Well, I'll go next. We'll leave Ren for last since he went first last time. Well, played a little Deathspank. I mean, I'd been wanting to play it, but I hadn't gotten around to it. And I played about 15 minutes, enough to get a handle on it, get to the first boss. You know, understand what the game's about. It's a pretty good game. It's a hack and slash with the humor of old school games from LucasArts, you know, like Monkey Island and whatnot. It's by Ron Gilbert, who did Monkey Island. It's a pretty solid game, and I recommend it for anybody that's a hack and slash fan and just wants to have some mindless fun while, you know, listening to some quirky dialogue.
Hey, you want to play some co-op, bro?
Oh, we can't. There is no online
what?
Co-op.
What?
No online co-op.
Oh,
what is with these devices? You think there's like some like concerted effort not to include online co-op lately or something.
We'll cut you bitches with broken bottles.
But also, as I mentioned in the last podcast, StarCraft II come out this week. I played a little bit. I didn't play that much because I had a statistics exam, but game of the year? Yes. And, I mean, just the presentation of campaign is a revolution for the genre, the single-player campaign, but I'd also say it might be a revolution for several genres. I mean, if they were to do this type of presentation with the interactivity and whatnot, we'd have a lot of good games. It's very polished. I mean, the gameplay is StarCraft, but StarCraft 2.0, basically. So, I mean, I guess it lives up to its name being StarCraft 2. It doesn't stray much from the gameplay style, but it adds enough to be fresh. And the campaign's not just build a base and go attack somebody scenarios. There's a lot of variety to the campaign. I've only played one multiplayer match, my first 1v1. I won. I'm thinking about retiring so I can have a winning record. But, yeah. I don't guess y'all really care about StarCraft that much, though, do you?
So, no. Is it just as good as the first one, or you don't know yet?
I would have to say it's a better game than the first one. I'm not sure about the balance yet. The first one was balanced almost perfectly, between the races, for me, in multiplayer and stuff. You know, it's just the kind of balance only Blizzard can bring, but with the second one, I haven't played enough to notice the balance, but gameplay-wise, it's better than the first one. Anyways, I also played a little bit of Dawn of War 2 Last Stand mode, which is a mode they added to the game right before the expansion Chaos Rising. Basically, it's kind of like Horde mode. Everybody's adding Horde mode. It's a co-op mode where you team up with two other hero characters. They have set characters. And you face waves of enemies and stuff. It's a pretty fun mode. I've been enjoying it. The achievements are kind of hard. Take a little bit of time. Like you need 124,000 like experience to reach level 20, and that's pretty much when you sit there and get the other achievements too, once you reach level 20. And you, like, if there's 20 waves, and if you only make it to wave 9, me and my brother, farthest we've been is wave 10. We can't beat the enemies on that wave yet. You only get like 1,400 experience. So you need 124,000, and we're spending 15 minutes to get to wave 10. So, I mean, that tells you about the length of time.
So you get into there? You get into 2,000?
Yeah, all I need to do is finish last stand mode.
I'm jealous.
And I'll have the 2,000.
I want the 2,000. It sounds nice.
it's a good, fun game, Stone. You should find somebody to co-op it with.
Yeah.
Play it on the netbook. I'll get it.
I think you're screwed there.
Yeah.
I think we're shit out of luck, Omega.
All right. Well, Rand, what have you been playing this week?
I started and I finished off a protocol. Got the full 1,000. A little worried.
How did that compare? How does your opinion compare to Omega's opinion?
Well, I guess that he ended up liking it, right, Omega?
Yeah, yeah.
I probably like it a little bit more than Omega. I like the game. It's not a great game by any stretch of the imagination. It's not a terrible game. Like, yeah, I see a lot of people bagging on it, but I think for what it is, I think it does a good job. I really liked it. Granted, I probably would have hated the two if I had to do four playthroughs like Omega, but I got everything done in two. There's one problem with the game, and Omega probably hates this too. You really can't play the game like Army of Two or Gears. Like, if you get in a shootout, that's where the game just fails. Right, Omega?
Yeah.
Because the shooting in the game is based off of, like, it's based off of role-playing, like how many points you have in a gun. So let's just say you have an assault rifle, but you have no points into it. You're not going to be able to kill anybody with it, and it takes forever to line up a headshot. And at certain points, enemies bum-rush you with shotguns, and the game forces you to play it like it's Army of Two or Gears, and it's just not possible to play it like that, the way they have it set up. So, but as, I enjoyed it. Like, I tried to play through it as stealthy as I could. I got my stealth tree and my pistol tree all the way up, and, I tried to play it as stealthy as I could, and, I liked it. I liked it a lot, actually.
Alright. You play anything else besides Alpha Protocol?
Rented Alan Wake, do the DLC.
Don't spoil me, dude. I'm about to play that.
I'm not gonna spoil me. It takes place after the game's over, and it's not like Prince of Persia epilogue, where like the Prince of Persia epilogue was like the true ending of the game. You know? The Alan Wake DLC takes place after the game's over, but actually couldn't be in the game because it would. You know, it seems like it's gonna bridge the gap in between Alan Wake 1 and a possible Alan Wake 2. A lot harder than the actual original game. You're fighting the enemies in a more confined area, and they're a lot more aggressive. I don't know that much. I enjoyed it. I mean, I had to play through it twice. There's an achievement for, beating the episode without dying or restarting a checkpoint. And I ended up dying at some point. So I got all the collectibles because you got to get 10 alarm clocks and 6 cardboard standees. And on the second playthrough, I just ran through it. Probably the way to do it because you just run past everybody. I would say it takes, you know, a good hour and a half, 2 hours maybe. It's not very long. I didn't get a code, so I had to pay 560 points, and I'm happy with that. It was cheap, and I like Alan Wake. So, you know, I liked it. That's about it, unless Dean Omega and Stallion want to talk about Crackdown 2, because they forgot about Crackdown 2 again.
Well, it's been like 3 weeks ago.
Oh, yeah. Well, you said you wanted to talk about it, didn't you?
We'll just stick to weekly.
Okay.
Unless you want to talk about it real quick.
I'll just say Crackdown 2 is really fun. It's Crackdown 1.5, though. The story is a lot. I didn't think it was possible, but the story is worse than the first one. And the helicopter and the radar ping for the orbs are a really, really great addition, as well as the wingsuit.
Yep, I agree with all that. The wingsuit sucks, though, because you have to wait till you're pretty much done with the game to use the damn thing. That's the only thing I had a problem with.
Yeah, the wingsuit would be nicer if you could jump off smaller objects or whatever,
yeah,
and be able to glide from there instead of going to really
tall
buildings.
We all love the game. Well, yeah, didn't you guys put like 14 hours straight into it that day it came out?
Yeah, 55 hours in 4 days.
Pretty close, but yeah, I mean, it's still addicting, just like the first one.
It's cracked on 1.5, but it's still good now, so.
It's still kind of empty, though.
I hope for next crackdown they move to a different city. I really hope they do. And I really hope they don't have you start out as a level 1 agent. I hope you're already like a level 5 and you actually get more powerful. You know? That's kind of my hope.
Buildings are taller in the new one?
Not necessarily. I'm just saying, like, why do you always got to start off as like, you know,
I like starting out like that. So when you get in our game, we can just kick the shit out of you.
Yeah. Do you like running around the same city, though?
No, I think
I mean, like how it wasn't, how it was completely open from the beginning. I like the first one, how it was, you had to complete that island before you could go to the next. So I like how I was making some sort of progress through the game, but this one is just wide open. This game felt empty to me. Still fun, you know?
Well, all the fruits made it less empty, yeah. You know, as far as shooting enemies, but I know what you're saying, like it wasn't nothing to do besides the beacons and
the city didn't have the same life it had in the first one either.
Yeah, I know what you're saying about that. It's more enemies to kill, but like not as much to do.
With us today we have Mr. Stoff J.
Hello.
Stoff's been doing some busy work lately over at X360A on behalf of Microsoft. Reporting gamer score cheaters. What can you tell us about that stuff?
Yes, sir. We actually set up a forum on the main forums there for gamer score investigations, and it has a instructions list of basically what we're looking for when you report somebody. Please, if you're going to do it, take a look at that first, so we don't get the, oh, this guy cheated, and that's all it says of somebody's gamer tag. If you can link to their profile on Xbox.com, not where you're comparing games with them, but actually just their profile, it helps a lot. And if you can provide at least 3 examples of actual things that they cheated, it helps. There's only a very limited number of us looking into this, and there's a lot of things coming in, so the more information you can put in the report, the better.
Now, I've noticed a couple times on Twitter, you and Creech sitting there discussing spending weekends doing this. I mean, that must be some hard work right there.
Yeah, there's a lot to go through, and at the time, there were 4 of us working on it. Now, there's 3, because Creech has moved on to new things, but, you know. Best for him. He's actually still working on the project. He's just doing it in a more official capacity now. So, congratulations to Creech. And there's a lot of time has to be spent, because if somebody does submit one that's just, you know, so and so cheated, we have to sit there and cite examples and put it in a specific format. That's why I appreciate anybody in the community that can, you know, submit them off the recommended guideline there, and not just vague so-and-so's a cheater. I mean, we've got plenty of Stallion's a cheater, and I honestly challenge you guys, if you can find some of those cards, submit it. But I don't think you're going to find anything, so.
That's what's up.
Wait, hold on. I got one. He completed time shift too fast.
Oh, did he?
His gamer score is higher than mine.
Yeah. Well, dude, you beat the last level on time shift in an hour, man. It should have taken 3 hours. You totally cheated that.
He caught me red-handed. Do they give you any advanced tools, Stoff, or anything, or are you just using
There's no advanced tools. A lot of it's knowledge. A lot of it's just notes that Creech and other people have taken on what's actually possible, and we're building on that all the time, on what achievements are unattainable, Which ones are attainable online, which ones are only attainable offline. There's a lot of stuff that goes into doing it, and the reason it takes so long to do it is, I mean, to keep them, or to maintain a relationship with the team that does it, you have to have 100% accuracy. You can't be submitting, you know, false stuff or stuff that's even questionable. I mean, the watch list is much, much bigger than the actual resets list, so.
So, what happens if, does Microsoft always accept your, like, recommendations? Or they, like, if you say this guy's definitely a cheater, we recommend that you reset his gamer score. Do they always follow through, or?
It's not 100%. It's not 100%, and, if there's five games on there, and it's, you know, fair, you know, it's really cut and dry, everybody, you know, basically agrees, I mean, where nobody would look at his card and go, oh yeah, it's possible to have, you know, obtained, you know, a ranked match, you know, win offline. But, you know, when it's single player ones and they're out of order, they seem like they're obtained too fast or stuff, there's not enough proof there to, do anything. We try not to submit any that aren't a guarantee.
Now, how did this relationship happen? Was it just, did Microsoft come to you, or was it the fact that maybe y'all were submitting to Microsoft, and then they were like...
This was a lot of hard work by Creech, to build a relationship, you know, of just, you know, contacting people, trying to find out who the right channels to go through were, and then that turned into, he built a reputation of accuracy, and they got to the point where they would consider it more often, and now it's basically a good pipeline. So hopefully we can keep that up.
Do you have the rules? Like, I get people asking me this all the time in regards to, say, like, just an example, Fallout 3 PC, the console commands.
Yeah.
You can just enter the command into the PC and get the achievement. A lot of people consider that cheating. Does Microsoft give you, like, official guidelines on what they consider cheating and what they don't consider cheating?
To break it down to the most basic level possible, if it's something that's built into the game, like the console command in Fallout, there's no danger in you being reset off that. If it's something like, I'm trying to think of an example, like Halo PC, where you can actually go in and edit files and basically get credit for beating the level just by loading it, that's a very questionable area on that one. If you were to do that and only that, there's really very little chance that you're going to get popped for it.
As a PC user, one of the things we usually do when with our games is we edit the INI files, configuration files for PC games. So, you know, there's a lot of hidden features in those that, you know, make the game better or allow you to cheat. Does Microsoft consider editing the INI files along the lines of modifying the level files like in Halo 2?
I'm not exactly sure how it works on the PC games. 90% of the complaints that come in have nothing to do with the PC, other than people that don't know that there's multiple versions of something like Gears of War 1. I'm not sure what the stance is on the...
So what about the eternal question that everybody always asks? What about boosting? Now, people always say boosting, you're cheating and stuff. What does Microsoft think? We'll tell you guys about that.
Well, I don't know if you guys listen to the Major Nelson podcast, but I mean, they admit they do it themselves, so I don't think they're outlawing that. You may get, you know, complaints against you through the in-game complaint system that you don't know how to play the game, but you're not going to get popped for reset for that.
That's pretty funny, considering Omega and Stallion are boosting Lost Planet Colonies right now as we speak.
Hey, they change the rules, you're going to get screwed, man. You're never going to delete anybody out of spite, or anybody out of spite. Okay.
Absolutely not. I would. We see a lot of submissions out of spite on there daily, but It's pretty funny. We actually banned, or Mindy specifically banned, 5 people from the site the other day because they were just spamming. Some kid cheated, and it got a little out of hand.
What about the opposite? About not resetting somebody because they're your personal friends?
No, man. I'm not opposed to doing that. Honestly, like, I mean, I'd hate to do it, but. If it comes up and there's overwhelming evidence against somebody, I'm not gonna, you know, just be like, oh, I'm gonna sweep that under the rug, you know. No, I mean, when you're looking at stuff like that, you're not doing it on a personal level. You're just processing the information and passing it along to the right channels in hopes that it keeps the service, you know, a clean and happy place for everybody.
Now, when you're investigating people and you find some stuff, do you contact that person and ask them if they could perhaps explain how such and such happened? You know, whatever glitch.
Generally, no, because the ones that get submitted are obvious.
But, okay, well, say you were looking at my card and you saw... You know, obviously my skate's all screwed up due to the skate glitch, which if people wanted to see, there's YouTube videos out there for it of how it happens. Now, say there's some new game and that happens and it's not really regularly reported on, like, X360 and you saw that. Would that be obvious to you or would you have to question it?
No, if it's a single game and it's something newer... I mean, we're definitely going to look into what's going on with it before, you know, before submitting anything or doing any of that. Like, we hear every day that, you know, I did the Gears of War level 100 glitch, but I didn't do it on purpose. I just had a friend over. Well, it's not really that easy to get that to happen.
Yeah.
So.
It's not like just sitting there pressing the guide button to look at your achievement when you unlock
it. Yeah. You know, just like, oh, oops, and then all of a sudden, you know, you're just level 100. I mean, it's not, oh, I invited my friend over, and we played one versus one deathmatch on split screen, and just, everybody's got excuses.
I got another question for you, Stop. I don't know if you may even not be able to answer this, but what about, like, from what I understand, the ones that are really good at cheating, they can make their timestamps, which, from what I understand, is a pretty integral part of catching cheaters. They can make their timestamps appear to be whatever time and date they want it to be. They hack the achievement.
Now, yeah.
Now, I mean, do you not talk about that because you don't, like, you know... I was wondering if, like, what's to stop anybody from doing that?
Well, there's nothing to stop people from doing that, and we don't necessarily have the, I mean, if somebody's really that good and wants to put that much time and effort into it, they might not get caught. But the guys that jump out and have 500,000 gamer score overnight, they get just popped by themselves without anybody having to look at it. It's just one of those things.
So they got an automated.
Oh, it's still not automated.
So they have nothing automated, even for like.
Not that I know of.
Okay.
Not that I know of. It's still a human process at this point.
Anything else you wish to say, Stoff, about,
Oh, yeah, I just wanna remind everybody to go over to the X360A forums, check out the main page on the GamerScore Investigations page, read through the rules and guidelines, look at what an example of something submitted should be, and if, I mean, you come across somebody, please, go through and submit them. I mean, you guys sending stuff in is what keeps the process moving, so... And the more detailed information you can put in, I mean, the easier it makes to get everybody through, so.
All right, well, we want to thank you for coming and doing an interview.
All right, well, guys, great job on your first show. Hope the second one goes as well, and I'll talk to you guys later.
All right, thank you, Stuff.
All right, thanks, Stuff.
Thanks, man.
And Stuff J is still here for our Connect feature coming up, and... This is part one. Part two we'll be playing next week. Well, this is our Connect feature, and this is the second time we've recorded it. It was going to be a feature last week, but we had technical difficulties. But not all of it is old news. We do have a little bit of new news to mix in with Microsoft trying to defend the price. But a couple of weeks ago,
Microsoft announced that Kinect was going to be $149.99. Comes with a game, Kinect Adventures. Or you can wait for the gimped out Xbox Slim model bundle. You know, 4 GB memory on the Slim, $299.99. So what do you guys think of Kinect?
I think it's a pile of shit.
Way to get to the point, man.
I'll give Microsoft at least some semblance of credit for at least not copying the Wii like Sony has with Move. At least they're doing something slightly different, and I'll give them some props for that. The whole $149 thing is retarded, it's ridiculous, and I hope it fucking bombs so bad. I hope this becomes $150 glorified webcam.
Wow.
Because I cannot see in a way this thing takes off. Now, I've been wrong before. I was wrong about the Wii. I thought that thing was gonna, it was gonna be the doom of Nintendo, and I was wrong. I admit it.
Everybody was wrong.
I just can't see it like Microsoft catching lightning in a bottle, like Nintendo did. I just can't see it working again. I think people, Nintendo's was so new that people were like, I had to have that, I had to have that. Like it was like the board game that everybody wanted to play when people come over. You had to bring it out because it was so fresh. It was such a new, unique experience. And now you have it. It's just like, well, now you don't have a controller. You just are the controller. And $149.99 for that thing is, that's Microsoft bending over everybody and sticking a large inanimate object up their ass. That's pretty much what it is.
$50 overpriced. It doesn't seem like it's too much.
No, it's about $100 overpriced.
Pay $200 for Rock Band.
Including the game, I'd go with maybe $79.99.
Between $60 and $70 would be.
How much was DJ Hero?
$130.
Yeah, $130, and then the Renegade Edition was $200.
Yeah, I mean, I still think that's still overpriced, but that's who they're trying to connect with, Rand, are the same people that bought the Wii.
Yeah, but but that's the thing I don't understand. The Wii is $199. Okay. So if they're trying to get the people that bought the Wii and they don't have a 360, they have to drop $300 on the bundle. And that's still $100 more than the Wii. So if they're interested in motion controls, and in this economic times where money matters, $100 goes a long way. I just can't see people choosing the Wii over the 360. I don't think HD graphics matters to that audience, the demographic that Microsoft is going for the ultra-casual with their lineup of launch titles. Because are we all excited about, LB's Fitness or EA Sports Active 2 or Connect
Sports? I'm excited
about
Dance Central.
Dance Central is the only cool-looking game, but even then, that's not something I want to play in the, can you even make a hardcore game with Connect? I don't think you can, to be honest with you. I think the closest thing you can come to a hardcore game is that game from the maker of Rez HD, Child of Eden. I think that's the only, that's about as...
That thing looked like shit to me.
You may think it may look like shit, but I think that's like the only thing you can do, because you have no... How are you going to control people in a 3D environment without a controller? We've seen the videos of them trying to work Half-Life 2 with Kinect. Bro, you saw those videos, right?
Yeah.
And the motions, he looked like he was having a goddamn seizure trying to control Gordon Freeman. I'm thinking to myself, that's never going to work. Nobody's ever going to buy into that. And I think the corporate executive of Microsoft, since the Xbox division, the very first Xbox lost like $5 billion from Microsoft. But that's okay, because they were trying to get into a new market. They're trying to stop Sony. That was their goal. And $5 billion to a company like Microsoft is not really that big of a deal. Now it's like they want the 360 to be profitable, okay? They could have priced Kinect at $60, $70 with the game, and that would have been fine. I probably would have bought one for that price, because that's what I think it's worth. When you got people like Patcher, Michael Pachter saying that, like, Kinect costs $50 to make, yet they're charging $150 to buy it. Microsoft just realized that if it doesn't take off, it doesn't take off, but we're making lots of money if it doesn't take off regardless. Like, if we only sell 2 million units of this thing, we're making a shitload of money regardless. And if it does take off, well, we're even making more money. You know what I'm saying? I think they hedged their bet.
Earlier, you mentioned the Price versus the Wii, and that's the recent news I wanted to bring up. Microsoft is trying to defend the pricing by saying, hey, you know, do the math. And, let's see, company man Brett Sidons invites gamers to do the math when comparing prices. He says, what do you need, and what do you actually have to spend for a two-player game for this device versus that device? You actually find that Kinect is very competitively priced, he says. The camera tracks six people with two active players. You don't need to buy anything else. I'll let you do the maths. But when you say Nintendo Wii or PlayStation Move, you buy this and this, even for a two-player game. Now, when you actually do the math like he wants you to, the Wii costs $199.99, right? $200.
Yeah.
A second Wii remote nunchuck costs about $81.98. So you get a system, and you get a second nunchuck, and you also get a game with the system. You know, in fact, I think some bundles now come with the other.
I think the bundle comes with Wii Sports and Wii Sports Resort now.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get both.
So you get two games.
Alright.
And the only game worth playing on those is Wii Bowling, that's it.
Yeah.
Sorry, folks.
Yeah.
Wii Bowling is the only game worth playing on the Wii. And all not right. even for that long.
To get a player game working on the Wii, $281.97, respectively, without tax. Now, if you already own a 360, sure, the math works out, because all you have to do is drop $149 down, and then you can play two-player motion games. But if you don't own a 360, you'll have to get the $300 bundle, which is more than the Wii. And with the bundle, you get the GIMP system anyway, without a
hard drive. Yeah,
without a hard drive.
So, and essentially, you got to go, then, if you really want to use your system, you got to go buy one of the new hard drives.
Exactly.
But I'm sure Microsoft's going to have a $399
version. Isn't everything overpriced except like Taco Bell?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Oh, I was going to say the Wii doesn't offer a hard drive solution of any kind anyway, so you can't really say if you want to add a hard drive and justify that as being part of the price difference.
What is Microsoft's target audience here?
The people that play the Wii but really don't play the Wii that much that are interested in something else. That's the only thing I can think of.
Yeah, but is it current Xbox owners, or is it new Xbox owners?
Current Xbox owners are achievement hoarders, and we got two of them in the party right now with us. Dawson and Stallion, I'm sure, are going to buy Kinect the day it comes out.
Yes, I will be.
Yes, because they're the only two achievement whores in the party.
Well, no. Yeah,
buying it for Kinectimals, not achievements. I'm curious about the dashboard stuff. Just like, I know
that's why I would buy it.
Well, this recognition stuff might not work too well, but it does work. It'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, it'd be like, send message to Soft J, and then be like, sending message to Zach Wild, confirmed.
Yeah. I don't trust Microsoft with speech recognition on any sense, because, I mean, they've been trying to do it for 20 years now.
I'm really interested to see what they can do with it. I'm still really interested to see if they can use it as a supplemental control, where you can actually play a game with the controller you have now, but like they showed where you could look around corners on Forza by moving your head if it could pick up both, or if it just eliminates the Kinect when you pick up a real controller.
Dude, that sounds really cool, the way you describe
I think if they could do that, that would be outstanding. I just don't know how ambitious the developers are to do it, or if it's even capable, so.
Well, okay, since you guys are actually going to get it, what game... No, will you buy? I know it comes with the game. Is there one you'll pick up right away?
I'm thinking of Dance Central Day 1.
Anything else out of all the games, the launch titles that you guys are looking like forward to? Like any of the fitness games, so you guys can get.
I saw a snowboarding game the other day that actually looked kind of interesting. Called like Adrenaline Misfits. It might look fun. The little SSX looking.
So wait, you tell me you're not interested in the free Xbox Live Arcade game that became a full retail game? Joyride?
Oh, what? Wow. No.
How does that happen? How does a free arcade game turn into a full-priced retail game?
Is the announcement of Joyride costing money the reason Apple quit Xbox? Because I know he's pretty excited for Joyride.
It might be.
Yeah, he was always asking, where's Joyride? Where's my Joyride, man? I want my Joyride.
Maybe he saw they had a price on it now, and he's like, oh, this, I'm out of here.
I mean, how good is the camera, though? Is it like HD quality?
No.
Video camera?
It's like 680 by 320, right? See, that's a pretty shitty camera.
It'd be nice if it was HD or something. That'd be pretty cool.
I think it's still a 1.3 megapixel if I remember the specs right. I don't know if that's actually the capture camera, or because it's got two lenses, so I'm not...
Don't forget, when you have Kinect hooked up, they also rigged it, so Kinect doesn't Kinect itself doesn't do the processes anymore. The Xbox does all that. So, the performance of the Xbox is going to take about a 15 to 20% hit when running it, right, Fro?
Yeah, something like that. I think it's like 15% of the hit.
How much more advanced is it than, like, the iToy? I don't know if you guys ever tried that stuff.
Not much. It was more advanced, yes, but not that much more.
Well, Microsoft bought the company that was developing the technology, I think, like, 2 or 3 years ago. For me, it's like they're rushing Kinect out like they did the 360. And, you know, all the problems we had with the 360 because they rushed it out.
Well, don't forget, as of right now, with Kinect, you can't use it while sitting down. You can sit down and use it.
It depends on the programmer.
Right. But the games themselves, you can't sit and play it because the camera can't track your lower body.
I think you're jumping on that a little too bad because I mean.
Yeah, I think we need to get some hands on with it before we bash it too much.
Yeah. Why are you going to sit there and bash a fitness game for not letting you play it sitting down?
No, I understand. Well, obviously,
Rand wants to Japanese exam. Rand wants to lay on the couch.
That's why.
But obviously, those type of games are meant to be playing standing. But not, I mean, even like the Wii games, you don't have to stand to play.
Well, the Wii game doesn't sit there and, you know, Wii's not accurate. I don't know how accurate Kinect is. It's probably not accurate either.
That's the big thing, though. I mean, if that thing's accurate, it'd be good. It'd be really good.
Hands-on. If you guys are willing to have me back on the show, I'm going to go do the hands-on. They're having Seattle in 2 weeks, and then I'm sure they'll have it set up at PAX as well, so I'd be happy to give you a post-PAX report about how it actually works if you guys are interested. So.
Well, that sounds good to me.
Yeah, at least we have somebody that actually knows what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Once I can actually play it and don't have to sign an NDA or anything, I'd be happy to,
I'll just educate guests on stuff I read, Mike, that's all.
I wasn't talking about you specifically, I was talking about all of us. Like, none of us really know.
Yeah, none of us.
I just don't want to trash it until I've actually played it.
Well, that's because Microsoft should send us all press invites to go to E3 so we can try all this shit out. I mean,
they
come on now.
Send me a lot of stuff.
I mean, we're like, you know, we do a lot for Microsoft.
As much fucking money as I spend for Microsoft.
Invite us to some of these shows. We can play some of these games. God, I mean.
Well, if you guys want to hit up PAX, you're all welcome to crash at my place.
When is PAX?
Labor Day weekend. And there's an X360A community party. You know, that night.
Game PAX 2.0. There you go.
That was Labor Day.
September 3rd through the
5th. That comes out with a game for my weekend and run around groping women.
I'm sure there'll be something in Japan with like that, Omega.
That's why I have a Japanese Xbox.
One.
Yeah, but you know how it's going to be on the Japanese Xbox stuff. You'll have like groping women, like you'll grope like 9 women, and then the last thing you grope will be a man or something.
Yeah, and they're all underage too, because that's how they roll over there.
Do that.
I know Del played Death Smile, so he can attest to that.
They shit on each other too, right?
Shit on each other.
They do.
I don't know about all that.
And this concludes part one of our Kinect segment. We are ending it with the Japanese fetishes. Next week, we will discuss the type of games we would want to play on Kinect and Move or Wii. So expect some more Kinect fun.
Stallion being, you know, number one in the world, gets a lot of chats and messages and shit. And it just so happens that, well, you got a couple like right now, right?
Yeah. I can invite him right now.
Every podcast we're going to do, when he gets a message, we're going to invite the nub in to see what he's got to say.
All right.
So, let's get this rolling. Invite the nub in and see what he's got to say.
Just a little disclaimer. those that we call nubs and scrubs, it's mainly a terminology we use, not to mean something negative about you, but it just means people we don't know, random people we don't know. So you could be the greatest guy in the world, and we'd probably still call you a nub or scrub if you sent us a random message and we didn't know you. And now for our Who Let the Nub In segment.
Who let the nub in? How did he get invited? I said, who let the nub in? It wasn't me that invited him. He's got a question for you, Mr. Stallion 83. I said, who let the nub in? None of us know how he got invited.
Stallion. What's up, man? Holy crap, you have a lot of gamer score. Yeah, I played quite a few games. Where are you from? Canada? Canada? Yeah. Have you ever heard of a guy named Smirnoff? No, I don't know. He's got the number one gamer score in Canada. Holy shit. How much does he have? He's got like, what's he got, 422 or 420 something?
Yeah.
Alright, that's pretty cool. See you guys.
Bye! Later.
And that was Priest RHJ, our random nub of the week. Occasionally, we'll be answering questions from random nubs and scrubs. We have a Who Let the Nub In segment, and this is questions posted on our Blogger accounts. Stallion83 recently got a question. What was that question, Stallion?
Let's see. A random guy says, what are your thoughts on saving or killing Carmine in Gears of War 3?
I think it's pretty cool that Epic's doing that. It gets people, like, vested in Gears before Gears even comes out. All the money and you know how we all hate Avatar clothing, like, they're worthless. Unless, of course, it's a Kobe Bryant jersey.
That's not worthless.
And, all the money goes to charity, so at least it's for a good cause. Personally, I believe, since this Carmine is a fucking badass, needs to live and win the war for the COG.
I disagree, and I think Samuel L. Jackson said it best.
Yes, they deserve to die, and I hope they burn in hell!
I agree. I think he's dead. Kill his ass. I think it's cool what they're doing. I mean, it's getting people interested in the story and what's going to happen, and basically writing a part of the story.
That's getting the fans really involved in the process.
Not really been done before.
I think even if we save this Carmine, there's going to be another Carmine that dies, so it doesn't really matter.
Dude, we need to save this Carmine, because he's a badass, dude.
Kill him.
Save him.
He's a badass. I want him alive, but I also want him dead. So maybe kill him and then bring him back as a zombie.
Make him have a really cool death. No bullshit death. A really fucking cool death.
Maybe a really cool death where he saves everybody. I don't know. I wish he would be alive, though. Please.
And one of the things that irritate me is when people shorten words. They really don't need to be shortened. I mean, sure, achievement is a long word. But if you're going to shorten it, don't call it Chivo. Please.
Yeah, if you use the word Chivo as a shortened version of achievements, then you can go fuck yourself. And yes, yeah. That goes for the Chivo Maniacs podcast on XG68. Most retarded name for a podcast I've ever heard. And I love you, Webb, but you need to get rid of that because that's retarded. Hey, guys, I was just playing some games. I unlocked some Chivos. What do you mean? You ate some Cheerios for breakfast? No, I got some Chivos.
You made some Cheetos?
Cheerios? fuck that,
some cheese puffs?
Have some cheese puffs right now.
Yeah, you ain't eating them with hot sauce, sorry.
Yeah, what do you think?
Chivo's
good, Chivo's bad.
I never liked the word Chivo's. I thought it was always, like, corny as hell, but people want to use it, they can use it, but I don't really. I never used it.
I automatically, if I see somebody post in the forums and use Chivos, I automatically discount anything they have to say, so.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way, too.
Yeah.
I wouldn't use the word, but I don't really give a shit if anybody else does.
So, in a vote for 3-4 from your friendly Party Chat podcast, if you use the word Chivo, we really don't want to have to hear anything that you have to say because we think you're retarded. Well, we all want to thank you for listening to our podcast this week. We hope it ends up a little bit better. Next week, we might try to spice it up with a few different segments. We might have the Omega Detroit segment where he'll tell us a story about Detroit. Maybe Randall actually go see Inception and we'll talk about Inception and spoil it for Stallion.
Maybe. Yeah, then we'll spoil it.
I'm seeing it. Next week. I'm watching it.
Bro's actually going to play some games this week, so he's got something to talk about besides, I played that for 5 minutes.
And if you have any questions or comments, feel free to post on the blogs and you can find Stallion's blog at 1millionsgamerscore.com, my blog at MajinFro.com, or you can actually post on the official Party Chat podcast blog at thepartychat.blogspot.com. If you check our post when we post the podcast, the best way to get the podcast, other than streaming it off our post, if you visit our blogs, is to sit there and subscribe to the RSS feed. That way, every time we sit there and update with a new podcast, your RSS feed reader will sit there and tell you. It'll be like, hey, there's a new podcast out, motherfuckers. So,
The iTunes, too. Check us out on iTunes.
Trying to get up on Zoom. I hear there's a long wait for that, though. So, if you use Zoom, we'll be up there soon. Comments and questions, send it to us, and we'll take care of it. So, this is Majin Fro signing out. Stallion 83?
Yeah, eat your vegetables. They're good for you.
Randall Thor 19?
What?
Omega D's.
Word up.